Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You know the vibes with your boy Earl of Pearl. If you woke up, you already won. Take the 24 hours, man, to do something that your future self will thank you for. James Bridges is in the building. Ant-Man is in the building. You are in the building. Fellas, good morning. How y'all feeling?
I feel good. How are you?
I feel good. Ant, how you feeling, my man?
I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Did y'all enjoy the weekend slate of football games?
Fun day yesterday. Fun weekend all around.
Let's start Saturday. Let's go back to Saturday. Like, did that bull drive at the end of the Chiefs game, man?
Don't you start.
And I know you be on the FanDuel parlays, man. Did you see that bull drive there?
Oh, yes, I did.
Come on, man. Really?
I don't actually think it was that bad of a call. I mean,
damn the call.
You talking about the money.
Yeah, like, you're talking about the money. Listen,
that's
man.
What you get.
Listen, there's
get another hobby.
There's a true. But the game itself, man, I thought Houston's defense came to play. Some of those roughing the passing calls was kind of tough for me to watch. The first one on Will Anderson was ridiculous to me. You know what I mean? Like, not really taking anything away from Kansas City and what they did. But, man, stuff like that, like, those are things that can swing momentum. And it's hard to get it back once it's swung.
I don't disagree with you, but the Texans were in that game for majority of it.
Even
though I never felt like they were going to be able to make a push. But this was, I think, a battle of old defensive coordinator guy versus young quarterback. I mean, Spagnuolo's been in the league for, what, 20 years now?
Forever.
Shroud is only his second season. So I think this was just tactician versus the apprentice. I don't really think it was any way this was going to go, other way it was going to go.
That young man is really growing up on the fly, CJ Stroud. You know, you look at his playoff career right now, 2-2, and, you know, and the two losses, you've had to go on the road to some tough environments against some powerhouses. And to have your team this year really in the game compared to last year, it says a lot about his own growth and maturity. That game Saturday night, fellas, was one. If you enjoy offense, if you enjoy big plays, wild moments, like, it didn't get no better than that. You know, you look at the Washington Commanders and you hope that the Cleveland Browns are close to being who they are. Now, Jimmy Haslam isn't going anywhere, but, you know, Magic Johnson being a minority owner, that entire ownership group, you know, you talk about good ownership, character, and good people, right? And those are things that really matters when you come to trying to build an organization up. And, you know, when they made the playoffs, I think, whatever I heard that speech, it was either when they made the playoffs or after they beat the Bucks. But Magic Johnson said something along the lines of, you know, you hire good people, you know, you trust the people hire you, get out the way. And I hope that is a lesson, not just for the Cleveland Browns, but for any other owner or any other sports franchise, whether it be the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, WNBA, MLS, whatever, right? Like, if you want your franchise to be successful, you got to hire good people. You have to establish good ownership yourself. But more than that, man, I think you got to get out the way. Now, you got to have some luck as well. And I think Jaden Daniels that kid is special.
Watching him made me envious of what we don't have and the way that they built the team. That defense all season looked real, real shaky, but they found ways to get situational stops, and he just didn't give the game away. That's in moments like that, that's what you want your young quarterback to do. You know, just don't throw the ball away. Don't fumble it. Don't make a huge mistake, because we can live with you getting sacked. We can live with 3rd and 17, but we can't live with you giving the ball away. And that's what I think they got in the guy who's had this kind of experience. We talk about his age, and we always want to go with the younger prospect. But there's an advantage to getting a guy who's done this, at least on a collegiate level, with some form of kind of track record to be able to predict how he's going to look going forward. So, I mean, I just wish we could have it. I wish we could have it.
When you flip the coin and you look at it from the Detroit Lions perspective, you know, because it from afar, it looked like this team was really just taking that journey. Looked like they was going to the Super Bowl. This offense was one that was unstoppable the entire year. And when it mattered most, man, Jared Goff, whew. I think if you look at it, that's the thing, especially if you look at last night's game with Baltimore and Buffalo, but you look at that Detroit Washington Commanders game, man, you turn the football over.
Even the Rams, but yes.
Yeah, even with the Rams, you turn the ball over, man, you lessen your chance to win a game.
And I think this is a question we can have throughout the whole show. Do people change? Because we've seen Kirk Cousins going to the start of the season, and we saw what it ended up being like. Sam Darnold, he had a great year. What did he look like in the playoffs? And all season we heard potential MVP and Jared Goff. And when in the moment where it mattered in the playoffs, his decision making was what failed him. And that's where, hey, are these guys, did they really grow and change? Or did they just have maybe talent surrounding them that allowed their mistakes not to be amplified? But I've been not on the Jared Goff bandwagon the last two seasons. I've this decision-making issue, I feel it's been present for the last two seasons. It's just that the team has overcome it, you know?
And that right there is where we start. Do people change? And I thought James just did a very, very good job of setting this up as we get through this first segment of this show. Understand that there is a lot that is going to take place today. The Cleveland Cavaliers will play on MLK Day at home in front of our wonderful fans against the Phoenix Suns. We get to see KD come to town. You know, at some point today, we will all tune in to pay attention to the presidential inauguration.
The what?
And at some point today, later on this evening, we will sit back and we will watch Ohio State, you know, try to take care of Notre Dame and win the national championship. But for me personally, and I told James this, I told Keith this, it is very important that the significance of MLK Day doesn't get lost in everything else that's going on today. You know, and James asks, you know, do people change? And I want you all to understand that the theme of this show is based on one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Dr. Martin Luther King speech. It is not the I've been to the mountaintop speech. It is not the infamous, the world famous, I have a dream speech. For me, my favorite Martin Luther King speech is In Your Life's Blueprint. I think it is very personal. I think it hits home. It is something that to this point, man, when I go back and I listen to it or read it, it is something that really fires me up internally. And it gives me some internal motivation to keep pushing forward. And one of the lines in it, the very first line, it says, number one in your life's blueprint should be a deep belief in your own dignity, your worth, and your own somebodyness. And life, man, bro, we are always told to play it safe, right? We are always told to follow the script. We are always told don't take risks on things that don't look perfect to anyone else or everyone else. About people who don't look perfect to everyone else, right? Think about how many different areas in your life where you might have been told or might have been around the receiving end of, you know, a female you might be interested in and her friends telling you, you know what, you probably shouldn't date that dude. That dude come with baggage. That dude got a past of this, that, and the third. You know, you ask, you set it up. Do people change, right? And so the people in that person's corner, you know, the GM of that might be doing an analyst and say, you know what, girl, a man don't check enough boxes. But you feel like you can get the most out of that person, right? And you got a decision to make based on what you feel like that your capabilities is, right? Based on your own self-belief of what you're capable of doing. Fair?
Fair.
Those are things that we are often faced with in life. I can think about when I made the huge leap of faith to quit my good city job, to go to school in the middle of COVID, to chase this particular dream that we are witnessing out, living out right now, right here, me and you, live time today of all days, right? I can remember, and I can remember so many people telling me, man, you know, when I do the analyst early, just don't add up. You over 30, right? It's already hard to break into this industry. Your road ain't really been traditional to get to this point. So if you take this chance, I'm telling you, the odds say, the analytics say, the experts, quote unquote, say, this is not going to work out. But it was my own belief and my own somebody-ness that made me step out there and believe that I can get it done. So where am I going with this, and how does this tie into everything that we're going to talk about today? And I know we're going along with this opening monologue, but it's okay because this needs to be understood. The Cleveland Browns are in a situation to where they need a quarterback, right? And whether that quarterback be Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, you're going to have people from the outside looking in telling you every single thing that's wrong with each one of these young men. Telling you all the whys in the world of why you should connect yourself to these young men. Why? Because if you sit at pick one or pick two, you should not take the chance and or risk to make either one of these men your franchise quarterback. Let's be fair. Let's be real. Everybody listening this morning, I thank you, but you've heard it. Everybody in this room, you've heard it. You know that this has been the conversation. But what if Kevin Stefanski truly has this belief in his own somebody-ness, right? That whatever flaws that these individuals might have, that he has the capability of coaching them up. That he has the capability of developing a quarterback of his choosing. He's never been in the opportunity to say, you know what, I can choose. I can do this myself. And now you get the opportunity to look at one of these young men, and say, you know what? Do I truly, truly believe that either one of these guys can be the leader of this franchise one way or another? And if your answer is yes, then you need to take that step of faith and believe that you can do so. Because for me, and I tweeted this out yesterday, and I thank the majority of you for your fan engagement. I thought that we had a spirited conversation. I said that draft experts don't think that Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are awful, just not top five guys. But if the Browns was picking 6 through 14, drafting either wouldn't raise an eyebrow. Wild logic to me. If you like a quarterback and you know it's a massive need, you draft a quarterback, period. Stop overthinking it. 216-474-0092. Do you believe, regardless of what the experts say, if Kevin Stefanski really, really falls in love with one of these quarterbacks at two, that the Cleveland Browns should turn in a pick and draft a quarterback, or do you think they should operate in another light? It's your boy Earl of Pearl. I am in for Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima on this MLK Day right here on 92.3 The Fan. That is something I truly, truly, truly try to empower into my children. Not me, not your mama, not your sister. Not your teacher, not your auntie, not your uncle, not your associate, not your friend, not your enemy. Never, ever in this world allow somebody to make you feel like that you are nobody. Believe in your own self-worth. Believe that you are somebody. You know, we was having a conversation in between commercial breaks about Dr. Martin Luther King and, you know, just the selflessness of his journey, right? To wanting to see inclusion and understanding that you were really, really, really triggering people with your messages and with your actions, disrupting at the said time of how things were always done, and being willing to lay your life down, you know, to make that type of sacrifice to see the change that you wanted to see, or not being willing, should I say, to see the change that you felt for in your heart. And when you really, really have vision that broad, man, more often than not, you don't get the opportunity to actually witness it.
It's foresight. So even just take out the assassination part, just to know that I'm doing something that the end game may not happen while I'm here. You know, that's a heavy task to know that, you know, I got to do so much work in such a short time span, you know, while we're here, in hopes that somebody else is going to continue it on and it gets better. You know, that's the thing. I'm doing all this without the benefit of knowing how this is going to turn out. And, you know, that's, like I said, a level of foresight that he had to be able to inspire you, to let you know, hey, I may not be at the end at the race with you, but you got to keep going. It don't let it die just with me, and don't just let this cause go nowhere. So, like I say, that level of foresight and vision, different.
It is different. It is different. You know, when you talk about these quarterbacks, right, and we understand that neither one is a finished product, you know, and yesterday I kind of went back and forth with some fans on social media. I got to stop doing that, by the way. I got to do a better
change.
I got a better job. I got to do a better job of not doing that. But I think, in my opinion, I think a lot of people who say that the Cleveland Browns should draft Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, or Mason Graham, or the Browns should trade down to accumulate more picks because we have so many different issues that we need to address. I'm not trying to attack people. I just think it sounds regurgitated. It sounds like you are jumping on social media or having conversations in bars and restaurants based off what you have seen on a national sports show, what you've read on a national publication. I think that if none of these so-called experts would have ever came out and publicly and said some of the things that they said about this draft class, that a lot of the fans wouldn't be saying the things that they're saying. If you go back to the beginning of the season, when the season was starting to fall apart and everybody was going through what quarterback the Browns may or may not get. Nobody at said time had an issue with Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward. Nobody at the time had an issue with Quinn Ewers, et cetera, right?
Correct.
At said time, nobody had an issue. But as soon as a quote-unquote draft expert comes out and says, you know what, this is a weak quarterback class, you know, that this class doesn't stack up to last year's class because of athleticism and this, that, and the third, it seems like every single fan takes that information and they run all the way left with it. And they draw this conclusion that because an expert said that this dude is not comparable to last year's class, or because of the measurements or athleticism doesn't compare to, you know, Caden Williams, for example, that these dudes are not competent enough of being franchise quarterbacks and leading your franchise. And I think that's BS.
You know what? Okay, I hear you. I hear you. So let me shoot them some bail, okay? Let's say they did take that into more of a factor than maybe necessary, right? But if we look at this team, I find it hard to argue that you don't have so many other holes to fill that just getting a guy because you have a need here may not be the best decision. You may want to fill out some of these ancillary, not only say ancillary pieces, but just some other pieces of the team to build up the team. Yes, we all understand without a quarterback, life is very difficult to be a successful franchise, right? But if you don't have, let's say, quality defensive line like the Philadelphia Eagles, might not have too much success. I think we look at, even though they lost, the Baltimore Ravens offensive line played pretty good last night. The Buffalo Bills offensive line played pretty good last night. So I'm not going to be mad that they're looking at other pieces to say, hey, we might actually be better served going and filling these other needs instead of just jumping at this one, I won't say glaring, but glaring obvious hole that you have.
All right, so I was writing while you was talking, and I'm going somewhere with this. Ant, can you do me a favor?
What you got?
All right, I need you to confirm. You can look this up real quick. I believe the Browns have 4 of the top 97 picks in this year's NFL draft. Can you confirm that information for me, please?
I will get right on it.
All right, so I'm getting somewhere. As you were talking, right, I wrote down 2 positions of need outside of quarterback. You know, you mentioned the defensive line of the Eagles. You mentioned the offensive line of the Ravens and the Bills, right? So it's evident, you know, we can use a pass rusher. We can use the offensive lineman. Those things are glaring needs, right? So, what's the number one need? What? Until now, all of a sudden,
What's
the number one need on this team?
Yes, you do need the number one need, yes, is a quarterback. However, just because I need a quarterback doesn't mean I should pass up other prospects of greater potential.
Okay. This is where I can agree and disagree at the same time, right? First of all, let me go back and preface some comments and try to like paint a fuller picture to some people. Because I have consistently said now for a couple weeks that what? Kevin Stefanski needs to be the person that is making that final decision.
Let him make the pick if he wants the quarterback.
Right? And Josh Cribbs on his platform responded to me and said that in a sense, that's kind of like handicapping Kevin Stefanski to a degree. Basically saying it's all you don't get it right fired anyway. It's just on Kevin Stefanski. It's on Andrew Berry as well. Okay? They need to get into the lab together. And regardless of what quote-unquote experts say, if they trust their scouting department, if they trust their own eyes, and they can identify Cam Ward and or Shedeur Sanders as a quarterback that can lead this franchise and turn things around, even if Abdul Carter is right there, even if Travis Hunter is right there, even if Mason Graham is right there, because the need is so glaring and so massive, you can't afford to play games with that pick. I just feel like, let's say that's the facts, right? And you need another pass rusher. Yeah, you might not end up with Abdul Carter, but JTT that plays for Ohio State that's going to play later on tonight, that man somehow, some way presented himself to you in the second round. I'm pretty sure you're going to be okay with that, right? I'm pretty sure that fans is going to look at him because they know him and they've seen him play a lot. Okay, I can get down with that, right? Hypothetically, you got 2 third-round picks, right? Let's say a guy like Trevion Henderson presented himself, right? Third round, you know, you're addressing another need, right? Right there at the running back position.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's say that an offensive lineman that I can't think of off the top of my head presented himself in his second and third round, and you flip how you drafted those guys. You still walk away from this draft with a quarterback and Cam Ward and or Shedeur Sanders. You could still walk away with a pass rusher, and I'm just throwing JTT out there because that's the guy I thought about. You could walk away with a Jack Sawyer in the later round, right? A Trevion Henderson in the later round. All I'm saying is the Cleveland Browns got 4 picks, I believe, in the top 100. Okay? And if that is the case, you can still address glaring needs on your team. But if you're talking about trading back and this, that, and the third, listen, Jalen Milroe is not Jalen Hurts. Okay? I got that a lot yesterday.
Hell, I got some comments about Jalen Hurts.
You know? And for me, I know you do. And I get it, right? I get it. But, you know, when people talk about, well, Shedeur Cam is, they don't have this type of athleticism or Shedeur doesn't have a top-notch arm. And, like, man, Anthony Richardson is the most athletic quarterback I think I've seen in a long time, right? Dude athleticism is off the chart. His arm strength is off the chart. Anthony Richardson ain't coming to save nobody's franchise.
That lack of experience thing we keep talking about.
You see what I'm saying?
I hear everything you're saying, and it's not even that I disagree with you, but just for even long-term future planning, are you in the position to lock yourself into the quarterback and be able to still go out and feel other – are you willing to go ahead and spend the money elsewhere because you're going to have a quarterback on an inexpensive deal? And just that kind of setup makes it hard with where they are in regards to the salary cap. So that's why I'm almost thinking you might want to go get one of these other needs, because it's just as equally hard to go get a quality tackle. It's just, we haven't had a quality center in 3 years. They keep getting injured. I like Nick Harris and Ethan Postick, but they keep getting injured. So what good is a good player if he keeps getting injured? So, look, we keep talking about Denzel Ward and his concussions. I mean, he may be one more concussion away from you not being available to you. You may need a secondary guy. You definitely need another linebacker. Even if we assume JOK comes back, you're still going to need another linebacker. So I'm just saying, for as hard as it is to find the quarterback, some of these other positions are maybe not as equally, but they're just a smidge below as on the difficulty scale of filling. So it may, if that guy is there, the defensive tackle, the linebacker, the offensive lineman, you might be wise to go ahead and snatch him up too.
Yeah, so Earl, we do have top 100 picks. We have our first second rounder, the 33rd overall pick, which is in all likelihood a first round pick as well. Then we have our third round pick and a third round pick from Buffalo for the Amari Cooper trade.
That's a lot of draft ammunition right there.
And so, with the two projected comp picks, we're supposed to have 11 total picks in the draft.
That's a lot of draft ammunition right there. So for people saying that Andrew Berry needs the same to trade back and accumulate more picks, so you telling me you just want him to draft rookie after rookie after rookie after rookie, throw that on the football field with these veterans and say that's to work because we got all these glaring needs. See, here's a few things that have changed, and we might as well just go ahead and take this to 40 quick. But here's a couple things that has changed from, let's say, week 17 to now. Right? Miles Garrett on the latest episode of Hard Knocks said that, you know, he talked to Andrew Berry, laid out a plan. He don't believe the Cleveland Browns are as far off as other people might believe. Denzel Ward just said last week,
we get a quarterback.
We solidified our quarterback position. We cool. Now, the fan base may agree and or disagree with those statements made by those players. Now, I don't know. You don't know. The fans don't know. We are not in those locker rooms. We did not. We were not behind those closed door meetings with those players and Andrew Berry. But they walked away with a belief that, you know what, if we plug a few holes here and there, that we can take care of some of our issues and we can turn this thing around as early as next season. That's yet to be determined. It's yet to be determined. But there is going to be more than one way to skin a cat. Now, you got 11 draft picks coming in this year's draft. Exactly how many more picks do some of these people want him to accumulate? I don't know. But you can address the defensive line, the offensive line, a skill position, the quarterback position, and your first four picks. And I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Like, if you don't take Cam or Shador, like, don't come around talking about, well, you know, let's try to finesse a Jalen Mill role or Jackson Dart or Quinn Ewers in these later rounds. Because let's be quite honestly clear with each other, man. It ain't like the Cleveland Browns done had a high success rate drafting quarterbacks in the mid to late rounds either. Let's keep it real. Like Deshaun Kizer, Charlie Fry, Dorian Thompson Robinson. You see what Spurgeon I'm saying? Spurgeon Winn, et cetera. So it's like, none of these dudes might be all world. That's fine. But I believe that the two top prospects that's presented itself at the top of this draft are more than worthy than step in and lead this team. And furthermore, who said you had to be a top-notch athlete to run Kevin Stefanski's system?
But do you want to spend top-notch money on not top-notch talent? Because that then is, in the long run, is going to come in to bite you because you got to pay this non-top-tier talent guy top-tier money. So that's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if we look at that defensive lineman, right, either of the guys, right, or even one of the guys from Georgia, right, they may be worth top-tier money today. 4 years from now, 10 years from now, where Shedeur Sanders may end up being like a Geno Smith kind of guy, right? We would take a Geno Smith kind of guy.
Somebody
here,
used that example yesterday, and they asked me would I draft Geno Smith. I said, I guess in this scenario, yeah, I would.
But if I told you, hey, I'd give you Geno Smith instead of Baker Mayfield, you'd be like, I think I might choose Baker. So I don't want to get into a realm where I'm taking you in the top five, and you're just in the realm of a Geno Smith. A ceiling of a Baker Mayfield, and I think Baker Mayfield has some room for growth, but I don't want those guys to be my ceiling and my floor. I want a guy who has the potential to blow the roof off. And that's what I'm saying. Maybe one of these other positions, solidifying that need, maybe allows that quarterback to maybe have some success. Maybe.
Right. All right, so by that logic, then don't take a quarterback at all. This
I'm not saying that because I remember the year of Courtney Brown. So I get it. I'm not saying that it's foolproof. I understand. I don't disagree with the argument that we should look into filling some of these other positions.
Boy, this conversation, man, when we come back, what y'all think about it? 216-474-0092. I know it's early on in the morning on an MLK Day holiday. A lot of people are not at work. They're at home sleeping. So, but if you up, give us a call. Sometimes, man, we don't have no control over the hand that we're dealt. You just got to go out there and be your best self and try to make something of yourself, man. I know me, I've made a lot of mistakes, but I don't make a lot of excuses, right? You got to take it on the chin, take accountability, and just continue the pursuit of, like, just growth. You know, it's funny. I told a friend of mine yesterday, I refuse to let, you know, any of my shortcomings and hiccups to be a mockery amongst the wicked. Instead, like, my story will be a testimony of faithfulness and not giving up.
Listening to you talking, we talked on the phone a couple of days ago, and I've just been replaying, like, conversations we've had. And as I listened to this speech, as I was cutting it up for us today, you know, you talk, this speech is in a lot of your just, like, everyday life. Like, even today, as you were just speaking, you mentioned a piece of the speech that we're going to play later. There's a part he quotes from a Langston Hughes speech, the poem Mother to Son, where he basically says the mother to son is, the message is keep going. And that's basically what you just said. You know, like I say, as I'm looking at these quotes that we're going to play, you basically are hitting all the titles that I've named them. So that's just kind of, as I'm listening to you talk and thinking about conversations, cool that this isn't just a today thing for you. This is kind of like a normal everyday how you try to live your life.
I truly, truly hope that, you know, the people who listen to this station that has gotten the opportunity to get to know me through radio understand I'm very authentic. And so I appreciate that, you know, because you and people who work with me every day get a chance to talk to me and see me and just whatever, deal with me when I'm not in a setting. You know, I'm the same way when his microphone is off. And so, you know, I appreciate that. Let's get out to Joe in Streetsboro, man, who decided to wake up with us on a Monday morning. Joe, good morning. You at work or you at home relaxing?
Hey, good morning. I'm at home relaxing. It's so snowed up. I'd have called off anyway if I ain't had to work. Hey, I'm going to just keep it a buck. Hey, keep them MLK quotes coming, Earl. You a real one.
I appreciate
and
that,
let me,
man.
And let me say this, man, with the Browns. I like where you were going with the first four picks in the top 100 or so. Mm-hmm. So to me, with our roster, which is not bare, our defense is still good. They're just on the field too much from our pathetic offense. We need to fix this O-line, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But either way, with 11 picks in the draft and four in the top 100, it needs to be figured out. However, whatever scenario you got. And the other thing is, what happened to the barbershop dude?
Oh, G. Bush, man. G. Bush closed the barbershop. He got some other things going on, but he's still employed right here by 92.3 The Fan. When you will hear from him again, I don't know, but won't hear from him on Saturdays, I can tell you that.
Okay, for sure. Hey, much love. I love where you're going with this show, and I love your conversation, brother.
Thanks, man. All peace and blessings, man. I appreciate the love and support, man. Enjoy the off day. Real quick, got to get – hey, when people call, we got to tally up. I know it's a dumb question to ask. Buckeyes or Fighting Irish tonight?
Buckeyes in a blowout.
All right, like, I need to score. Texas, I need to score.
Texas almost got blew out.
Yeah, it is facts.
If it wasn't for that little fumble that bounced back up in the punt returner hand, I thought Manning fumbled. Mm-hmm. There was a few other plays. They was close to getting eliminated. I think 40-10.
40-10.
You really going to show – you're not going to stop that freshman again at wide receiver.
Okay.
Stop them today.
Shout out to James. Shout out to At. They immediately got the writing. All right. Joe in Streetsboro got the Buckeyes 40-10.
40-10.
We got you on record, Joe.
A butt naked beating. Yeah. Period.
Hey, man. Be great today, man. Enjoy the off day.
Love, fellas.
Yep. All righty, man. Yo, shout out to Joe in Streetsboro. That is hilarious.
Yeah, 40-10. Like,
yo. We going to have some fun when we start flipping to that topic, man. I'm going to tell y'all right now as we talk in draft. You know who the best player in this year's draft is? Ant, I'm going to let you go first. Who you think the best player in this year's draft is?
I think it's Abdul Carter.
Okay, who you think it is?
Yeah, I go Abdul Carter.
I think the best player in this year's draft is Jeremiah Smith.
You know what? You know what? With the way that defenses have to kind of play bracket coverage or zone and safety over the top, you know what? You may be right.
Listen, now I'm about to put my foot in my mouth. For all this stuff I done just said this first hour of this show, if Jeremiah Smith was available and the Browns had the number two pick, I'm drafting Jeremiah Smith. I'm going to play him at quarterback if I got to. What's the famous line when Jordan came out? They said you need a center. Well, draft Jordan, play him at center. You need a quarterback, you draft Jeremiah Smith, you play him at quarterback. You need a safety, draft him, you play him at safety. You need another pass rusher, draft Jeremiah Smith. Play him wherever you want to play him. It don't matter. He Jeremiah Smith. But Joe made some good points there. This is an opportunity, and when we get into the 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk more into this. But don't forget, we got Cameron Justice of News Channel 5. She's in Atlanta covering the Buckeyes National Championship. She'll join us at 8. The last national champion, the MVP, Tyvis Powell at 9, and Ethan Sands at 9:20. Ethan think his locks is better than mine. He crazy. But as we have more of this conversation, how important is it, 216-474-0092, for Andrew Berry to hit on his draft picks this year? We know Andrew Berry has been a mastermind when it comes to making trades. But the draft has kind of been his Achilles heel. That's coming up in the next hour right here on 92.3 The Fan.